Hi, this is Alan in the Congressional Corner with Richie, Richard Neal, Massachusetts 1st District. Richie, if I may, what is the future of DACA in this country? The president has been all over the place. Frankly, he's told a whole bunch of whopping lies about giving people a path to citizenship, but it doesn't look like that's going to happen.
Well, I think first and foremost, reuniting these children with their parents should be our goal, and making sure that there is no longer separation between children and parents. I think that that's unwarranted and it's very unwise. But the other part of it is it calls attention to the following, and that is that the inability of Congress and this president to reach an agreement on immigration, when you consider in the last 2 weeks there were two bills on immigration that came to the floor. One was very harsh, and the one was even more harsh. And both were defeated by substantial majorities. The president needs to come to the conclusion that he can move some of these Republicans to at least a middle ground on immigration. There have been two immigration bills that have been passed since I've been in Congress, and both of them worked the way that we had intended. Now, the problem at the border right now is, as you noted, it's the chaos that the president's statements and policies have embraced. And watching those children, I think, for all of us is very discomforting. And at the same time, the president, rather than trying to find a calming path to a solution, seems to incite more demagoguery as it relates to the immigration situation. When you understand, for example, despite all the attention that has been drawn to the Mexican border, the truth is more people have gone back to Mexico over the last 4 years than have come. In addition, the problem that we have is largely from three very violent places on earth: El Salvador, to a lesser extent, Guatemala, and Honduras. And also, when you understand that more people immigrated from China and India last year to the United States, none of us are paying a lot of attention to that. When you look right now at fertility rates that are now focusing on about the average American family having 1.7 children, you have to ask yourself, how are you going to continue to grow the economy and promote Social Security and Medicare when you're witnessing this change in birthing in America? So the result ought to be for us to encourage a path to citizenship, and understanding that many of these people live and work in the shadows. And here's the overwhelming problem with immigration that is very seldom reported, and that is that most of the people that are undocumented in the United States, they came here on visa, and they just didn't go back. They overextended their stay, and now they have made their way into the American economy. And I think that when Barack Obama used to say, register and get in line, that that made a good deal of sense.
Let me change to another subject that a lot of us are very concerned about, and that is the environment and the state of the EPA today, the Environmental Protection Administration. They've got a guy at the head of that who seems to be intent on killing it all.
Well, he's also, it's surprising to me, because he's a climate change denier. And, you know, most mainstream political people, as well as overwhelming numbers of the citizenry, accept the idea that global warming is occurring. And you can see the president's decision to withdraw from the climate talks. That, I think, is not helpful when you consider that even Pope Francis has called attention to the consequences of global warming. And when you come to the conclusion as well that science, which is to be embraced, has all led us in the direction of acknowledging that the Earth is warming.
Let's talk a little bit about guns. I'm a little concerned, not a little concerned, a lot concerned. We've had all of these terrible things happening. Now the news media is watching over its shoulder. Our wonderful children are being wiped out in these too many of these places. And yet there doesn't seem to be any real movement on guns.
Well, for me it's perplexing because I can't for the life of me imagine why we cannot do mental health background checks. I think red flagging those issues is very important. I think proper registration and doing a greater monitoring and shutting down some of these gun shows where people just show up and they can purchase a weapon. It's baffling that we can't have that sort of a conversation because both sides retreat to their corners when, in fact, it strikes me as a reminder that we're not attempting those of us who have advocated more gun control, we're not attempting to suggest that we want to take guns away from legitimate sportsmen and hunters or gun collectors. That is certainly not the goal. But getting a better handle on who holds these guns and who has these guns, I think, ought to be the challenge. Now, when you look at what's happening with these school shootings, these are individuals who clearly had mental health problems. And the idea that they were able to access those weapons without anybody being able to stand between them and the accessory to the gun is the result of watching what's happened with these tragedies in these families. And it's, for me, again, we ought to be able to have this conversation as members of the American family about what to do. And instead, much of it always deteriorates into you're trying to take away our guns, or that somehow this is ill-fitting in our democracy. And I think the safety of our people is the number one responsibility of the federal government.
Well, you know, it's interesting you say this, and maybe it's inappropriate to ask you about this, but I want to ask you something. I was debating this very issue on our roundtable program in the morning one day, and I said, if somebody takes a gun and shoots somebody's brains out or kills children, they have to be mentally ill by definition. And I got a lot of pushback from people who said, no, they don't have to be mentally ill, including from some mental ill professionals, that they can just be plain evil without being having a mental problem. What do you make of that argument?
Well, I think it's a combination. I think that there are those that are just plain evil. But I also think that when you consider the school shootings, most of those individuals have established mental health problems. And I think the evidence is pretty clear on that. And when you have a chance with a South Carolina shooting, for example, in that church, you would quickly conclude that the individual who perpetrated that crime, he is mentally ill. So I think that when you look at what happened in Connecticut, I mean, that young man, he had a history of mental illness. And I think that his mother should have called attention to the fact that all of those weapons were in that house and he would have access to them earlier on, and perhaps that tragedy could have been averted.
Very quickly, the midterm election's coming. Optimistic, pessimistic?
Optimistic, feeling pretty good, as a matter of fact. The fundamentals haven't changed, despite what pundits say every day. I was laughing this morning with a newspaper interviewer that I was talking to. I said, nobody ever goes back to review what the pundits say after the election's over. But the fundamentals of this election have not changed at all. And the energy level remains on the Democratic side. The president is going to try to use the Supreme Court nomination to pump up the Republican base. He's going to try to use immigration to pump up the Republican base. But when you consider the 56 or 57 congressional seats that are really competitive across the country, we're doing very well in those races.
It's always great to talk to my Congressman Richie Neal of Massachusetts 1st District, where I live, and in office since 1989, a guy who is the ranking Democrat, doesn't mean he smells, but the top guy on the Ways and Means Committee, which is a very powerful position. Richie, thank you so much for being
here. Thank you, Alan. Great to talk to you.